A toxic algae bloom that stretched hundreds of miles along the Ohio River last summer stunned many people living there. But not everyone. As Carol Lofton reports for the Allegheny Front, experts are warning that with climate change and unregulated farm runoff, the green slime will no doubt be back.
Ethan Wells has lived along the Ohio River for almost all of his 32 years. One day last August, he noticed blue-green algae growing along the riverbank near his home in Sistersville, an hour south of Wheeling, West Virginia.
I grew up on a farm around ponds and on the river, so I knew what it was.
Each time he looked, there was more of it.
As it progressed and it started to cover the river, it started looking kind of like a neon slime across the top of the river. And it was kind of eerie, in a way, to have the river alive like that.
A lot of people noticed.
The first time the Great Ohio River Swim is now canceled, all because of a problem with algae in our river.
Yeah, there's an advisory against recreational activities in the river.
That summer, more than 600 miles of toxic algae, known as cyanobacteria, was reported in West Virginia, Ohio, and all the way downriver in Illinois. Touching the stuff can be dangerous, causing rashes, lung, and kidney problems. Previous algae blooms around the world have been deadly. So states issued health warnings to avoid contact with a thick, stinky slime. This is the sound of the West Virginia American Water Treatment Plant in Huntington, one of 14 drinking water plants that found blooms in their intakes during last summer's outbreak. Laura Martin is a spokesperson for the company.
At a certain point, we actually enacted our contingency plan for the Huntington water system to switch over to an alternate source.
Since then, Martin says developing ways to deal with toxic algae is the plant's number one priority. During the 2015 bloom, water plants used chemicals to ensure the water was safe to send to customers. But
it's expensive.
That's Stanley States, who was water quality manager at the Pittsburgh Water and Sewer Authority for decades. He's now an instructor at Texas A&M University and travels around the country teaching water utilities how to deal with disasters like cyanobacteria. He's not kidding about the cost. The water plant in Huntington spent $700,000 to deal with one outbreak on the Ohio. But without statewide or even regional regulations, all the plants can do is figure out ways to filter and treat the stuff.
The ultimate solution to controlling cyanobacterial blooms is going to be control of the release of excess nutrients into bodies of water.
Nutrients, especially phosphates, have been blamed for algae blooms in rivers and lakes all over the world. Phosphorus comes from sewage plants, lawns, and particularly agriculture. There are some 250,000 farms in the Ohio River watershed.
So if on farmland they use artificial fertilizers, they're supplemented with phosphates. If a farmer uses natural fertilizers, dung, that's loaded with phosphates. So rains wash these phosphates into rivers, to lakes.
When that phosphorus mixes with warm summer water, which is getting warmer as the climate changes, the combination creates the perfect recipe for cyanobacteria to bloom. On Lake Erie, toxic blooms have become something of a late summer ritual. The bloom in 2014 was so big that nearly 500,000 people lost their drinking water in Toledo, Ohio. Stanley State says the Ohio River could also continue to have blooms, in part because of all the locks and dams along the river that regulate flow.
It's not a free-flowing river. It's a series of lakes.
When the blooms took off on the Ohio River last summer, the state of Ohio was quick to respond.
A lot of what we were doing on the Ohio River, we learned from our situation up in Toledo.
Carl Gebhardt is Deputy Director of Water Resources with the Ohio Environmental Protection Agency.
That we wanted to make sure that since they had never experienced this before, we were very quick in getting to them to make sure that they were sampling the water before it came into the intake and were implementing the proper treatment.
Ohio has become a key state to watch when it comes to treating toxic blooms. Farm runoff, in general, has been largely unregulated. But last year, in an effort to reduce nutrient runoff, Ohio passed a law limiting when farmers can apply manure to farm fields.
That was a big legislative achievement that the ag community to their credit bought into.
Ohio isn't going it alone. It's working with other states around the Great Lakes to reduce nutrient runoff. Their collaborative goal? Cut this type of pollution 40% over the next decade. Gebhardt says Ohio's new runoff regulations apply to farms all over the state, so it's also expected to keep pollution out of the Ohio River. So far, other river states haven't taken these kinds of steps, though.
Hopefully, West Virginia, Kentucky, Pennsylvania, Indiana would look at that and say, okay, do we feel confident in our program that, you know, we're doing what we can do, or do we need to revisit that?
Gebhardt says state coordination could reduce pollution and prevent more toxic algae all along the river. And in the long run, that could save water treatment plants money and help ensure safe drinking water for the 5 million people who depend on the Ohio.
That was Carol Lofton of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, our partners in the Headwater series, Exploring the Ohio River. More of those stories are at AlleghenyFront.org/headwaters.